Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director at SUNY Oneonta and the current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's show, we're going to welcome in Justin Ferenz, a class of 2000, who will be inducting into our Athletic Hall of Fame on Saturday, June 7th, 2025. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thank you very much.
First of all, congratulations on behalf of the Hall of Fame Committee on this well-deserved honor.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What are your kind of initial feelings about being a Hall of Famer?
I shock. I was so happy. Like it just I just my heart filled with joy. I couldn't believe it. I was just super excited. I didn't think it was ever going to happen since it's been so long. So it was a distant memory as far as I knew.
Probably brought back a lot of memories of your time as a
Oh, yeah.
student athlete here. Why don't you talk a little bit
Sure.
about some of those?
Oh, well, college is the best experience of my life. I still talk to my daughters about my experiences and growth in college every day. And now that I have an older daughter in college, she's like, oh my God, this is everything that you always talked about. I loved Oneonta. It was the perfect place for me. It was a small fit. I like the small town, but it just, I loved everything about it. The road trips were fantastic. All my teachers and academics were very supportive of everything that we were doing. It was just a wonderful experience. It almost to me had a big school feel in a small town.
Everyone says usually when they show up on campus, it feels like home. So it's kind of get that home feel. Is that what happened with you?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely. I knew that I wanted to be a teacher. So I was looking at schools that had education. And the second I walked on the Oneonta campus, I just thought, oh, I can see myself here. Like I envisioned myself there, and it was pretty easy choice once I was there.
Right. Why don't you
Hey,
talk a
oh,
little bit?
sorry, it was the only school that I applied to.
Really? Wow. That's
Yeah, so
awesome
how
then.
I was around.
So why don't you talk a little bit about, so it was the only school you applied to, but then, when you came on campus and you met Mr. Baker, who was a Hall of
Oh, yeah.
Famer himself and a great guy, why don't you talk about some of that?
Sure. Yeah, I contacted Coach Baker. I don't even know if I was on his radar at first. I contacted Coach Baker and said, hey, I'm a decent tennis player and I want to be a teacher. So, I'd love to come up and check out the place. And he said, come on up. And I remember him arranging a little hitting session with another former tennis player, Aaron Siegel. And we hit for about 30 minutes. And after that, Coach Baker said, hey, we'd love to have you. And I said, hey, I'd love to come. So we were off to the races right away. Didn't take very long.
Certainly during that time, of course, Jim Baker coached, he never had a losing season. He won 75% of his matches, and you were a big part of that during your time here, and certainly, like when you just mentioned Aaron Siegel, another Hall of Famer. What was it like, maybe I guess following him, because he graduated and then you
Just
came
the year
in.
before me.
So what do you think? Was there a lot of pressure on you?
No, I didn't feel the pressure at all. I mean, I was pretty successful in high school. So when I got there, my goal wasn't about making the team, or it's just what can I do to contribute for the team? How no matter what role that I'm put in, how could I be the best for this team? And I even had a weird time adjusting to the difference in the rules and stuff from high school to college, and you could play singles and doubles in the same match. And it all blew my mind away, and it was just so exciting. I couldn't wait to show up to practice every day and compete. And I wasn't happy playing in the middle of a lineup kind of thing. Even as a freshman, I wanted to get to the top as fast as I could.
And certainly you did land there and you stayed there. And currently still are our career leader in most wins. I mean, do you think, here we are 24, almost a quarter of a century later, and the record still stands. So how does that make you feel?
Blows my mind. I still can't believe it. When you originally told me that, because I don't follow stats, I never knew. I never looked them up. It just blew my mind away that I actually held that kind of a record. It's just it's just to me, it's about showing up every day. It's about the consistency. It's about the work ethic. It's all of those things in going into an overall package. Don't get too high on a win. Don't get too low on a loss. Just stay consistent with what you can do,
Yeah.
and bring everything you got every day. And that's kind of the mentality I took going through my years.
Right. So what kind of highlights do you think like, can you talk about maybe some of the matches that you think were pretty special? Because you went to the ITA, you were a quarter finalist a couple times, which is, when you're going against the private schools, here come these little SUNY, players, and some people kind of look down on you a little bit. I
Oh
bet you
yeah,
surprised a few people.
those are my favorite times. I love ruffling feathers like that. Yeah, absolutely. When people kind of overlook you, that's when our team, especially our team, rose, because everybody overlooked us, but we knew how good we were.
Right.
So when I was able to pick off a couple seeds or here or there, or even when we go to a Binghamton for a dual match, and I was able to beat their number one player there. And going on our South Carolina trips, playing against D2, D2s, D1s, and being competitive with them, if not beating them, it was great.
Yeah.
I love.
Now, what, how did, Jim Baker seemed to identify, players, and he kind of fit him into the lineup, but it was always a strong lineup. I mean, how much do you think, was it a matter of you guys just kind of, you came in with all this talent, like how did Jim Baker kind of mold you guys into a team?
You know, he was a really big coach on motivation and team chemistry. He was a strategist. I don't think he ever picked up a tennis racket in his life, to be honest with you. But he coached the game better than anybody I ever knew. He could pick out little subtle things, body language that people were using, little strategy things that just made everybody bigger, or better. And he definitely was more of the motivational type, X's and O's type, as opposed to we're going out and doing these drills and things like that. He was really good with us mentally, and our mental health, and keeping things in perspective.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense, knowing Jim Baker for so long as I did. That kind of makes me think, yeah, that's probably about right. That's Jim. You talked a little bit about academics, and certainly, you had successes as a student as well. And you talked about your professors. Are there any in particular that you think, maybe some classes that you felt, made your experience even better?
Not any specific one teacher or anything like that. Honestly, I don't even necessarily remember their names at this point, but just the guidance that Coach Baker gave me through the years of how to approach teachers, how to go to their office hours for our changing schedules and having to miss classes, and how to navigate that as like an 18-year-old kid. It was just invaluable experience that he gave us, and insight.
And did you over the years we developed these faculty mentor programs to help, help teams and kind of have somebody who could be like a liaison between academics and athletics. And certainly within your team, how did you feel that everyone treated the academic portion of your experience?
Our experience on our team. Well, we're a tennis team, so we tend to be on the more academic side of things as tennis players. So academics really never came into anybody's issues or anything like that, because we were all pretty good students. We never really had to have mandatory study hours or this or that. We made sure that we took care of ourselves academics to free ourselves up to focus on the tennis program.
You've got a degree in education, secondary science, and you're currently you've been in one spot for 24 years, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Day and age where people kind of move around and you don't know where you'll find a great spot, but it seems like you've settled in pretty well at Longwood Central School District. Why don't you talk about that experience the past 24 years?
Oh, it's been amazing. So I actually graduated from Longwood High School. So I'm
Oh,
working in a
so you went
district that
back home.
I went back home, exactly. And before I went away to college, I remember telling my high school coach, Coach Bigham, I said, hang on here for a couple more years. I'm going to go get my teaching degree, and I'm going to come home, and I'm going to take over the varsity tennis program for you. And that is exactly what happened. Went away to college, did my thing, got my coaching certificate, got my educational degree, came home, got the job at Longwood, was his JV coach for a year underneath him. He retired, And then I took over the varsity tennis program down at Longwood. It's been great ever since.
Right.
Meet lots of people, lots of connections, people that used to, I used to play under and look up to. I'm coaching with them. Now they're my colleagues. They were used to be my mentors, and like, it's been a wonderful experience.
Right.
I've really fallen in love with coaching. I love the coaching aspect even more than I thought. More than being a player. I can't remember anything I do as a player, but I take so much pride in the accomplishments that my kids have had in high
Right.
school. It's been unbelievable.
Right. Which is, I was going to ask you, like, the differences between actually being a player, because a lot of times when you're a player of your caliber who was very good, sometimes the transition to coaching isn't as seamless and they struggle.
I mean, I think I've always been that way. I've always wanted to be, I've always had the teacher's mentality. Growing up, even starting teaching in tennis clinics and private lessons as in high school through my high school coaches, mentorship, getting programs together, teaching little kids, and then being able to go back and see what that did. I've just always loved it. So, and just even now, seeing players that I've coached over the past 20 something years write to me, emails, send me letters, Facebook updates, all this stuff about how they're doing, how their families are doing, how I affected not just them on the tennis court, but their lives. That's the real big thing that I've gotten out of it is just helping lead them in the right direction to being great people.
Right. Do you feel that that came from your experience with Jim Baker in the men's tennis program at Oneonta?
Oh, yeah. He definitely had a positive effect on that because, again, he was more motivational, and mental health wise and strategic wise, and that's I instilled that. I was able to combine hopefully the things I knew drill wise and physically
Right.
with the stuff he taught me motivational and mentally in
Right.
order to run my program. So it
Right.
was absolutely.
Yeah. Now, and you've been, very successful tennis coach, multiple coach of the year out there in Suffolk County. I mean, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good, accomplished.
Right.
It gives me a sense of pride. I guess that's the
Right.
word I'm looking for. It gives me a sense of pride to know that our work is appreciated and
Right.
recognized. Because whether I'm recognized or not, I would still be doing the same thing.
Right.
Because I still work with a lot of the kids that I've coached parents, and they come to me every day and tell me how grateful they were for the experiences that their kids had with us on the tennis team. Yeah. And
Right.
having success on it helps.
Yeah. So what other kinds of things would you maybe point to that you think have helped you, from your own experience, to where you are now?
Oh, just the time management skills, the work ethic that goes into everything, not just with the tennis, but just becoming a grown adult and a person.
Right.
Just all those skills that you need to be a functional adult in society. Like only that's the groundwork was all laid at Oneonta.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That first time that you're away and alone and nobody's telling you to not hit snooze and get up and all that kind of Oneonta just it sets the framework for the person and adult you want to be. And
Right.
through Coach Baker's leadership, it really set me on the right track.
Right. Now, being a team captain, of course, with again some of players who, as we look forward to more, teammates from that time frame, there certainly were some very special players as well that hopefully might be added to the Hall of Fame here in the coming years. Jamie Sunshine, guys like that. I mean, so what was it like maybe being, did you look at yourself as maybe a role model or a mentor to them as well?
Yeah, I looked at myself as more of a lead by example kind of guy.
Okay.
Tennis teams are a little bit different dynamic because we're very small.
Yeah.
There's only six, seven, eight of us on the team at any one time, maybe nine.
Yeah.
So not only do they become your best friends, but at the same time, because I knew what my role was on the team, I felt like I had to lead by example and show that work ethic that what was expected on this team. Coach Baker would have expectations without having to tell us
Yeah.
what to do. But if if we weren't doing the right thing, he could just give us a look and we knew we weren't doing the right thing. He didn't have to say anything.
Oh,
So
good.
I like to be that bridge between Coach Baker and the rest of the team, to make sure the team was functioning the way he wanted it to be.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that that's got to be the way that you approach, or you have approached, because I can't say you, I mean, because it's been 24 years, in building your own high school teams, which again, in high school, these kids aren't recruited. They kind of, a
No.
lot of them will show up, and now it's like, hey, what am I going to do with these players? I mean, how do you identify and try and work and put them together?
Oh, it's a process. If you want to run a good high school program, it doesn't start at high school. It doesn't start at the JV level. It doesn't even start at the junior high level. It starts in the elementary schools. And I always said when I was making my program, my best coaches had to be the coaches that dealt with the youngest kids.
Okay.
So a good coaching step, by the time they get to me, most of my work is done and I'm at a different level with them. But the coaches developing their skills throughout the years was really important. So we ran things like clinics for young elementary school kids in the summers where I would have the varsity and JV kids come help teach them.
Right.
Even at the junior high tennis level, we would always have mixed practice days where I'd call the junior high teams up to get lessons from the varsity kids and just make it more of a family atmosphere. The family atmosphere in tennis is really important. My kids were always hanging around the tennis courts and picking up balls for the girls and everything like that. But in order to develop a good program that sustains a long time, especially in tennis, you need that acceptance, the safety, the family values, and you need to be able to show them that you're committed to them for long periods of time. So just instilling different programs for kids to take advantage of when they're younger to try to instill that in the way
Right.
that I found success anyway.
Right. And now, have you?
I
So,
always knew who was coming up. It was a surprise
well,
team.
I was just going to ask you, do you identify these kids when they're like 7 or 8 and say, oh, okay, this kid could be pretty good?
We know who they are. We identify them, and then we just try to keep them interested and
Right.
motivated. They'll different ways and they'll make their choices. But yeah, we take a look at them and what was that? I lost my train of thought for a second.
Well, it's just like any athlete, right? I mean, when they're younger, yeah, they may have an interest, but we all know that kids get burned out, and if they, tennis is one of those sports that you could very easily get burned out.
And we're in it. We're not in a very affluent district. We're kind of middle class district. A
Yeah.
lot of blue collar. So I always put the statement on, we're a blue collar tennis team. We
Right.
may not have as much talent as other schools out there, but we're going to work harder than everybody.
Right.
That was kind of like even me in high school and playing college. I was not the most talented and skilled tennis player out there, but I worked harder than everybody else.
Right.
And I knew that's one thing that I could control. And so I tried to instill that into my tennis teams.
Right. And certainly it did pay off. Certainly paid off. So is there anything else about your Oneonta experience that you'd like to maybe talk about as we get closer to, kind of wrapping it up here? Is there anything else that stands out?
I mean, the friendships that I made there, I still have those friendships today. I'm still so close. I mean, I've got a boys thread texting me right now. They're all five of them are from Oneonta, and my
There you
friends from Oneonta
go.
talking about USA hockey and things like that. So just the friendships that you make, the experience that you make, you can make the college experience either the best thing in the world that you want, or you can waste it away. It's really up to you. And Oneonta
Right.
is one of those places where it's just some of the best years of my life that I still tell my kids about. And I love the entire experience. And now when I've gone back, I went back about 2 years ago. I couldn't believe how much it's developed up there.
Yeah, we did a lot of
Just the
building.
Yeah, the, just the town, the campus, the this. I walked up that. So where's my bubble? My bubble
Yeah.
is gone. So it's amazing to see the growth of the entire community.
Yeah, we had a great person in facilities, vice president for facilities, who understood the importance of building and they will come mentality.
Oh
I
yeah.
mean, the turf softball, the turf baseball, the two turf surfaces for field hockey and lacrosse and soccer. I mean, those definitely elevated the campus as a whole, and it just looked so much, even again, even in the 23 years that I was there, it was, you could see it, and every year it would be like, wow, this place looks even nicer. And when people come back for the Hall of Fame, especially those who maybe graduated in like the 70s and the 80s, they're just amazed because certainly the campus didn't look anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of students have benefited from it, not just the student athletes, but just the whole
Excellent.
town has benefited. So, is there anyone that you'd like to have a special shout out to?
So my wife and kids, obviously, Trisha and Riley and Aubrey, they're my rocks at home. I'll do my life is their life. I love them to death and do anything without them. And then my mom. My mom is my idol. She's the reason I am the person I am today and as successful as I am today. Amazing woman. Love her to death. And she's gonna make the trip up for the induction ceremony with us. It's gonna be wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, we certainly would like to congratulate you on this well-deserved honor. We're certainly looking forward to welcoming back everyone. It's a great group of individuals. They all have kind of their own stories, and hopefully we'll be able to share some of those with the group that comes. And again, June 7th, we look forward to seeing you and your family. And
Thank you.
congratulations again.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we'll certainly look forward to seeing you on June 7th.
Be there.